grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, we begin in the epistle lesson at verse 10. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. That's the text. Now we began this entire series, Behold the Man. We began it in Lent, didn't we? So just for a moment, back to Lent. John chapter 13. After he had washed their feet and then taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? Interesting phrase. Done to you. What Jesus has done to us is he has changed us completely and totally. Specifically, he has changed what we are in the grand scheme of the entire universe. The early church understood something special about the ascension of Jesus. It's not only the physical body of Jesus rising up into the air and then into heaven. It is the changing and raising up and glorifying of our human nature that he carries with him. He ascends, and God says that we are raised up with him and seated in the heavenly realms with Christ. And so we are part of the family of God. We are blood relatives of the Trinity. Paul says, Don't you know we will judge angels? A greater honor and glory than any of the angels could ever have for to be brothers and sisters of Jesus. And then there's the hymn, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. Put the missing verse back in. In him the tribes of Adam boast more blessings than their father lost. Because while Adam fell into sin and defiled the human nature, Jesus comes and takes that human nature and transforms it and brings it into, in himself, he brings it into God. These are amazing thoughts. And there's a pattern. I heard a fellow preach once on this. And I like this illustration, so I use it. The pattern is that Adam and Eve, Adam formed of the dust of the ground, Eve formed from Adam's rib, and then on Ash Wednesday we say, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and that is our destiny. But it is still the dust of the earth that God formed into a human being, and dust into which God breathed the breath of life. And the illustration comes by contrast when the astronauts were returning from the moon and bringing moon rocks, right? Did any of the dust of the moon have breathed into it the breath of life to become a living being? The Mars rover that wanders around on the surface of Mars and digs in the dust there. Does that dust have the breath of life breathed into it? But we are the dust that God has breathed the breath of life into and put his spirit in. And then we are the dust that Jesus came down from heaven to be one with, and to take our dust nature on himself, to share in our being the dust of the earth, so that he could raise that dust one day to glory. And he takes this dust of the earth, and in his own flesh he carries it into the Godhead. And with this dust, He rules in heaven. And our verse started us out by saying, He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus who died for our sins, is Jesus who rose so we could live forever, and is Jesus who ascended into heaven, and Jesus who is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and Jesus who is given the name that is above every name. By the way, do you remember from your confirmation instruction, where is the right hand of God? Pastor Pelican, who instructed us, made absolutely sure that we gave the right answer on that one. The right hand of God is wherever God exercises his power. So where is the right hand of God? Everywhere. And Jesus seated at the right hand of God? It is like Paul says, he ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Has Jesus gone away from us into heaven? Or is he with us here tonight? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Right? The Christian who is arrested for speaking of Jesus and thrown into a prison camp in North Korea, is Jesus with him there in that prison camp? He is there. Nothing can separate the Christian from Jesus Christ, because he will be there for us in every place, in every situation. When you're being wheeled down the hallway of the hospital on the gurney because they're going to take you into surgery and do something that you are very afraid of having happen to you, is Jesus there with you? And so with every Christian, you know, the amazing thing is, when you read the gospel lesson and Jesus says that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, and if we go out and if we share the story of Jesus Christ and the message of salvation and somebody comes to faith, did we bring that person to faith, or was it Jesus doing his work, gathering those from every nation and people and tribe and language, gathering them into his kingdom, Jesus working all over the world at all times? And again, what is your history? Back through parents and grandparents, and how far back did it go before it was, because Jesus sent a missionary, sent a Christian to the first person in your family to come to faith. And he was there guiding that message and planting it home, working with his Holy Spirit to bring the person to faith. And how many thousands and millions of strands are there, all of which are tended by Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, who himself gathers us into his church. And I use a phrase. You've heard this. How does Jesus grow his church? One soul at a time, individually bringing each person to faith that comes to faith in him. It is he who calls, he who is there shepherding each person into his flock, and then watching over each one individually, day after day. And there never is a consideration of, Jesus has 100 million that he's watching over there, and I'm the one that he couldn't pay attention to. No. He ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And each Christian has within them the indwelling Christ. As Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. And he doesn't speak in a figurative manner. Jesus Christ himself lives within each Christian and guides each one of us. And if you want to reflect on that and talk about the good shepherd, what kind of shepherd is this who can watch over each of his sheep individually and follow up on each of the ones who have wandered off, seeking out each one at the same time? And that is the amazing thing about the ascension of Jesus into heaven. Because he does not leave us alone, because he ascends, he then is there for each one of us. And every prayer we pray, he hears. Every need we have, he is there for. He is there to nudge and to speak his promises over and over and over again, using the words from last Sunday, in all of our no matter what's. He is there with his words and his promises. And then he tells us this evening to come to his supper. Because on top of all of the care and all of the shepherding and all of the watching over us, this good shepherd sets out in front of us his body, his blood, so that each one of us may have the body and blood of Jesus given to us, and each one of us joined to him. And all of that, taking what he has earned on the cross, giving us the life and salvation, calling us to himself, binding himself to us, binding us to himself, and going with us through our entire life. That's part of the celebration of the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And one day, he will return. And as the disciples saw him ascend into heaven, so he will come again, visibly, right there. And we will be able to reach out and touch him. And we will share his glory and all of the things that he has promised to us. Those will be ours for all eternity. Behold the man. In Jesus' name, amen.